I'm Emily Foster.
And I'm Deanna Raphael.
And we're too damn young
to be this damn confused. I thought TBT stood for Turn Back Time.
I thought Zendaya was a new fad diet.
Is it pronounced meme or mem?
We don't know.
But we do care.
So we are talking to youths to hip us up to what's happening.
OMFG is a shot of pop culture Botox that will, fingers crossed, keep us young and fresh.
And super of the now.
We're doing this for us.
But we're also doing this for you, because let's face it,
you're probably pretty clueless.
Well, hi, Deanna.
Emily.
That's me. That's my name. You've nailed it every time.
I like your, is that a?
Peplum.
Peplum.
It's a peplum blouse.
Right, right. I feel like you're such a nice slim gal. A peplum, you can rock. I feel like it doesn't work on me.
Well, thank you for the compliment. Yeah, I understand, because it blouses out right at the waist, which can make one feel... For me, I feel like sometimes I'm trying to hide when I feel not my best.
It looks cute as heck.
Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like it's a little too much volume on me.
Got it.
You know?
Got it. I hear it.
So we have a youth in today.
I love a youth.
A 15-year-old gentleman named David Bloom.
That's a great age.
Yeah, it's a great name too. Mm-hmm. And David is in a short film, and I think it's going to be made into a feature. It's called Wannabe.
Okay.
And it's about this interracial relationship back in the 90s in New York during the height of, like, all the Crown Heights drama.
During the height of Jungle Fever. Remember that movie from the 90s?
Oh, okay. Wait, I was like, I don't know if that's what was happening in Crown Heights at the time.
It was a great movie.
Yeah. That was another movie made about the Crown Heights
time. It was about time interracial period. Love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And during...
I don't know.
During the riots?
Not sure.
Okay.
Unclear.
Okay. I'm not sure either.
Great.
But it, you know, and I think we've touched on it before, but it really, like, I was really thinking about sort of the evolution of interracial relationships, and I'm curious to find out what David might think of, what his take at 15, having only been here on this earth for 15 years.
Ooh, 2001?
Don't do the math, Emily.
I did it.
It's not right. It's not right. But since you did it, mm-hmm. you know, I'm curious, would we have a black president? What does he know from not being, you know, all this acceptance and interracial couples all over the place on TV and in commercials and whatnot, you know? So I'm curious to see what his even general take is, besides the movie, on kind of like what that means to him.
I'm so excited to find out, because you're right. He's a young man. We don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know what he doesn't know.
And I, you know, I had my, and I, again, I think I touched on it briefly in the Caroline Goldfarb episode, but I had an, you know, with my own mom, mm-hmm. we had a moment, lasted about a year and a half.
Long moment.
It was a long moment where when I told her I was dating a Haitian security guard, we met at the Bonaventure Hotel downtown, Reggie.
I love the Bonaventure.
Yeah. You know, he was a security guard. I was a waitress at the steak restaurant at the top.
Great.
360 views, no big deal.
It's just not the rotating restaurant, though.
Right above.
Right above.
It was stationary, but still lovely.
It's probably better.
Oh, for me, yeah. Motion sickness. But my mom, who was an elementary school teacher in Queens and had a beautiful relationship with all of her very diverse students, and
I think that'd be fair to say,
spoke of everyone beautifully, and like I watched her teach many, many times, and my mom isn't a racist person.
Right.
That being said,
uh-oh, here it comes.
When I said to her I was dating a guy named Reggie, she was like, Reggie? What's his last name? And I said, Lespinas. And she said, what's that? And I was like, I don't know. It's a French. I mean, he's Haitian.
Uh-oh.
And she said, black? And I was like, yeah, you know, like, I guess. Yeah, yes.
Yep, she was a black,
like,
man.
And then there was a chorus of like, black Deanna, black, mm-hmm. black.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she was going through it. And it was the first time I've ever experienced, like, not – I never had anything but unconditional love.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And it was so shocking. And we just had this journey. I went and marched myself into therapy. Mm. And, yeah, because I was so taken back.
Right.
By her reaction. And her focus was, like, on our kids, which we were not even thinking of marriage. But that was her focus. That was where she got stuck.
She didn't want them to struggle? Or
exactly. She, mm-hmm. And she had known, you know, our neighbor had adopted a black girl, and it just didn't work out. She was, like, older when she was adopted. It just was not a fit, you know? And so she saw that struggle. I don't think she had a lot of other experience with it. And it was, like, that was stuck in her head, mm-hmm. you know? And it was just one of those things that, like, I realized it was such a journey because I was like, you know, I learned that I'm not going to – my family would have – like, my parents were going to have to come to me. Like, I'm not going to break up with someone or not be with them, even though my family is the most important thing to me.
Right.
Because they're not happy about something. Do you know what I mean? Like, it was one of those kind of – it is, of course, but it's not.
Well, it's when you realize you're a grown woman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I think it's easier said than done. And it was such an eye-opening experience to have to kind of risk the most precious thing to me.
I mean, I think you realize now how hard it was for me to marry a man covered in tattoos, now knowing how much my parents really hated.
No, it's true.
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, it seems like a kind of, but no, it's, but it's a similar, it's, silly, it's a similar true. Thing. Like there, it was it real
took,
for them.
It took a lot of growing up for me to be like, you guys, this is his deal.
Right.
Deal with it.
Exactly. It, yep. It's a, it's, I mean, they can't get their eyes on them yet, but they
never
know
will
it.
They.
Never will they.
All right, let's bring him in here.
Okay, great. OMFG.
Hi. David Hi. Bloom, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, hi, David.
Hi.
15.
Yep.
Feeling good?
I am feeling good.
Okay.
I am, yeah.
That's good.
You got just a shock of curls on top of your head.
Yeah.
An aquamarine V-neck.
Mm-hmm.
Bring in the heat.
Oh, yeah.
So how did you get started with acting?
It was mainly through a summer program at my school where they would take plays and we'd perform them, and I really found my love for acting doing that. At first, I was hesitant to do it, but then my parents, they forced me to do it, but I'm very thankful for that because it
How
really helped me.
How did they force
me.
You?
They said, David, you're doing these plays, and I said, I don't really want to do them. They said, you'll have fun, do it, and I said, all right, fine.
Okay, so a light force.
Well, a light force. Yeah. They didn't shove me in the room and say, do this, do acting. You're an actor now. No, it was nice, and again, I'm very thankful for that, and it really helped me get going with my love of acting.
That's great. And I have to tell you, I am a huge fan of Wet Hot American Summer First Day of Camp.
Thank you.
And it is very worth noting that Haley Soul, former OMFG guest, played David Bloom's love interest.
Haley Soul, correct me if I'm wrong, Emily, but did she teach us fire?
She did.
Yeah, that's right. Do you know fire, David?
Fire, what do you mean by that?
Yeah.
Exactly. It's a great question that she's asking.
So you could be like, hey, Emily, that peplum shirt is fire.
Oh, yes. I know what you're talking about.
Okay. That rings a bell.
Yes, you've heard. Does. Yeah.
We love collecting the lingo.
Yeah.
And that was a very crucial one.
That was really important.
Now
for
I
us.
Use the fire emoji all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
To be like, girl, your shirt was fire emoji.
Yeah.
So. It's good. And now it feels like now we've got you on and it feels like the circle is complete.
Right.
Yeah.
With the love circle.
The love circle.
The love circle.
Do you have anything like fire to shoot at us?
I don't know.
Any kind of lingo?
I mean, there's tons, but I'm guessing you've probably heard.
Give us
some
something.
Of them.
Chances are slim.
Maybe
actually,
a deep cut
that we've heard anything.
Right. On Fleek, have you heard that one?
Yeah, unfortunately,
everyone's heard that one.
We'll move on if you don't
have
it.
Yeah, I don't know why I can't think of any, but
I think throughout the show you might think of some.
You'll just, if something bubbles up.
We don't need to put you on the spot right out the gate. Later on, we will definitely put you on the spot. No problem. Just to let you get warmed up. All right. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so tell us about this really exciting movie that you're starring in. Is this your first starring movie role?
Yeah. It's my first real starring movie role, yeah.
What was that like?
Oh, it was a wonderful experience being able to be this big part of this wonderful short film. I definitely felt like I was really involved, and it was just an amazing experience.
And I mean, coming out of the gate, working with Malcolm Jamal Warner is pretty cool.
Really cool.
Yeah. I mean, did you know him from anything before you?
I've definitely heard who he was, and I know of who he was, but I hadn't actually seen much of what he did.
Like The Cosby Show?
Yeah, I was too young to have watched that.
Had you heard of it before?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And to work with him was such a great experience because he's so good and he's so hilarious. So
tell really us about that. The movie. What's the premise of it?
It's basically about this Jewish teen who lives in New York in the 90s.
And that's you.
And yeah, that's me.
Okay.
And he's in love, or he has a crush on this Jamaican girl who is definitely out of his league. And there's this other boy who kind of is her boyfriend.
Ooh.
But they're not exclusive, and you'll find that out more during the film. So it's basically him trying to get her to like him. So what he does is he goes and tries to be a part. Well, not really be a part, but he goes and she's having this big family picnic.
Like Jamaican style.
Yes. And he goes to be a part of that. And he's wearing all this hip 90s clothes. And he's just mainly trying to fit
in. Oh, boy. Yeah.
How did that go?
That was pretty fun. I definitely got to learn a lot about, Jamaican culture because they had a lot of, authentic Jamaican food on set.
Did you have some jerk chicken?
I did.
Woo!
It was really good.
Dear Lord.
Yes. And it was just cool being able to work with all those great actors and actresses. And the clothes are pretty cool, too. They're pretty funny compared
to
what we
have now. The 90s were great. I mean, for fashion.
Living out loud.
Yeah. Is there anything that you've taken from the film that you've worked into your daily wear?
Not yet, but I've thought about it. I've definitely thought about some of the stuff.
Right? What do you think you would...
You're it haunts my mind.
I don't know. This one shirt I wear in the later half of the movie was pretty cool.
What was happening?
It was mostly when I'm trying to look all hip.
Yeah.
And then I have this hat on, wearing shorts. But that shirt was, I really
was
liked
it
that
something
shirt.
Called hypercolor when you touch it and it changes due to body heat?
No, I've never heard of that.
That's a 90s situation you may want to look into.
It was really fun.
Might have to look into that.
So did you have to learn about Crown Heights in New York at the time and kind of get into what was happening there?
No, not really. I was kind of aware of what was going on, but I didn't really have to learn too much for this part.
Okay. And what's the struggle? What is there any struggle between you and your Jamaican crush?
Well, definitely her family, when I go to the picnic, they're all looking why is this white boy here?
Okay.
Especially with a scene I have with her father, Malcolm Jamal Warner. He's talking to me and he's kind of the overprotective dad kind of situation. He's looking at me like I'm just this white boy at this Jamaican picnic.
Okay.
So it's definitely that.
And was there like the record scratch moment where everyone just stops and stares at you? Or was it not that extreme?
It's not that extreme. It's kind of subtle, but it's not that extreme.
So when you think about interracial couples, is that something that even what comes to mind? Does it even bump you when you see it? Is it something that you notice as different?
No.
Not at all.
Not at all. I've grown up in a very accepting family and community, and I've just it's normal.
It's totally normal.
Totally normal.
Doesn't even go, huh?
Nope.
Things that make you go, huh? Doesn't even happen.
Nope.
Like any combination you're fine with.
Yeah.
We're talking about
a black and an Asian.
Yes.
No problem.
No problem.
We're talking about
a white and an Asian.
No problem.
Great. Wow. How about you got yourself a Hispanic married with Filipino?
No problem.
No problem?
No, there's no problem. Love is love.
All right. Oh, love is love.
That's really nice.
Okay. So do you and this girl get together in the short film?
You're going to have to see to find out.
Oh, come on.
Not going to spoil it. I'm not going to spoil anything.
That's fine.
Okay, can you tell us this much? He's not going to commit to it yet. Was there a kiss?
Yeah, there was.
Oh, my. Is that your first kiss on screen?
Yeah.
Was it weird?
It was kind of weird. Yeah. It was pretty weird.
What was it like?
It was definitely, I've never done that before, so it was pretty weird.
Ever in life ever?
Ever in life ever.
First kiss ever was on camera.
In front of everybody.
In front of everyone,
David,
yeah.
David, that is so special. No, really, oh my God, were you nervous that morning?
It was definitely a weird morning because it was really early and it was really cold. And like the days leading up to it, like obviously I knew it was going to happen. So I just kind of, it was like mental preparation.
Yeah.
You know, it was weird when you know it's coming.
Right.
That's so crazy. Oh, when was your first kiss, Emily?
Well, it's actually a similar.
On set?
It was.
In an interracial couple movie? No. In the Crown Heights, at the height of the Crown Heights,
yes,
racial
at the height.
Wars?
It was the 90s.
Wow. Okay.
No, I was in a play, and that was my first kiss. I know.
What
but
play?
I mean, not as exciting.
It no, was that's about amazing.
The play was about the Who, the band.
Okay.
I don't remember the name, but the guy who I kissed later, we ended up going to the same small private high school. Whereas I thought, I'm
I'll
an
never
acting
see
camp,
him again.
I'll never see this guy again. All of a sudden, we're in high school together, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah, that was your first kiss, wasn't it? And I never said anything, but I was like, no, it wasn't. Like,
yeah.
I was so flustered and annoyed that he knew it
right.
was my first kiss.
Oh, man.
Oh, that one got me.
That's
so I feel for
crazy.
You.
That's, it's hard.
It's really hard.
My first kiss was, how old were you?
I mean, I think I was like 13.
Okay. So we got 13, 15. I think I was like 17.
Mm-hmm.
I know. Not great. Not great. David, I know. I see your judgment, and I raise you. No, like, I see it. And you know what? It is what it is. What can I do?
Deanna, I think the secret was going to acting camp.
Yeah. By the way, I was in theater, so I don't know what happened. I was playing, like, the old lady characters. I was, like, in The Importance of Being Earnest. I was, like, the like, fuddy-duddy maid, you know?
Well, when you dress the part.
So I had, like, my first makeout sesh was, like, at a the most Long Island club you could ever imagine. It was called like Sprats on the Water.
I want to be there.
It was.
I just
it's
want to
still,
take it
I
all
think
in.
It's still there. It's like just everything you could imagine a Long Island club to be. And I was dancing with this really cute guy and he kissed me and I was like, what?
Where was it in Long Beach? Where was this?
Yeah, it was. Hmm. How do you know? What do you know about Long Beach?
What up?
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And I was like feeling so nervous because I was like, oh my God, what if one of my friends sees me? Because we were all there. You know, you don't want anyone in your
yeah.
business for that moment. So, my God, you had a whole crew around you.
Well, and I'm so curious, did anyone, like, before the scene take you aside and, like, have a conversation with you about how to have this kissing moment?
No, they really didn't. They just kind of left me for dead. They said, all right, you know what to do.
Yeah.
Do it.
So they were like, you're pro at this. Do you?
Yeah.
Did anyone else know it was your first kiss?
No, I don't think so.
Oh, I love it.
No one on set really knew.
I love it. So we're telling the world for
yes,
you.
Yes, you are telling the world.
Oh, my God. Did your co-star, what's the name of your co-star?
Shays Macklin, that's her name.
Oh, are you guys like friends now?
We haven't talked much after that, but I'm going to see her, of course, at the premiere in New York.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Do you think Haley Soul's character on Wet Hot American Summer is jealous?
No, because Haley Soul's character on Wet Hot American Summer rejected me.
Ouch.
Well,
yeah.
I remember, but she still liked you. I mean, it was very obvious.
Yeah.
Did people recognize you?
For Wet Hot American Summer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Really?
Especially at school the first day, because it came out in the summer.
Right.
And I hadn't seen anyone from, like, going to high school. I hadn't seen anyone there, and there were some new kids. And going into high school, everyone was like, oh, my God, are you that kid from Wet Hot American Summer? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, oh, my God, that's so cool.
That is so cool.
Yeah, that was really fun. And, like, on the street and stuff, like, was it a, like, I think I was at a Dodger game. And these people recognize me there, and just it's been all over, and it's really
You're
cool.
You're famous. That was a huge show.
I feel happy to be in your presence right now. I got to be honest.
I know.
So who are the actors that you look up to?
You know, there's some like actors. There's well, mainly it's I like Seth MacFarlane. He's really funny.
That's a good one.
Adam Sandler's pretty good.
Okay.
Like Adam Sandler.
So you like a funny man.
Yeah. Yeah, like comedians. Like Andy Samberg, I really like.
Like dark-haired comedians.
Dark-haired comedians.
Yep.
With facial features that are...
Prominent.
Yes. Yeah. You don't want some bland old, boring, Brad Pitt, annoying, whatever, you know?
Do you know who he is?
Do you know who Brad Pitt is?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Everyone just knows checking. Who Brad Pitt
just
is.
Checking. Not everybody.
Really?
Not everybody. Yeah. So maybe we should take a little break.
I think that'd be right.
You know, we're so fascinated that, you know, just history coming up, seeing what's doing. The fact that there was a movie out, you know, in the 2000s. I mean, I have to fact check it, but Chris Rock, I think it was like 2001 when he did the crazy comedy where a black man was a president. It was not that long ago, you know, 15 years ago when we were born. So, you know, we have a different perspective and we've seen things grow and change. So maybe we can come back and kind of go over some TV timelines of where interracial couples were and where they are now.
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah.
All right, let's do it.
Cool.
OMFG.
Today's show is sponsored by Howl.fm. It's like Netflix for podcasts. Only with Howl Premium, you can listen to the Comedy Bang Bang 2016 live tour. The tour sold out everywhere, but you can hear every single episode on Howl the next day. This year, Paul F. Tompkins, Lauren Lapkus, and Neil Campbell will be along for the ride. And there will surely be a few more surprise drop-ins as well. Hear the 19 tour stops and 22 performances from Comedy Bang Bang Live on Howl. In addition to the 2016 live tour with Howl Premium, you get 42 more Comedy Bang Bang specials, along with exclusive access to more than 120 hours of original miniseries and audio documentaries, and over 90 comedy albums. New episodes and albums are released each week. Get access to all this exclusive content on your phone, on your Android, on the web for only $4.99 a month. I mean, come on. And with the promo code OMFG, you get a full month trial for free. To redeem your promo code, you have to make an account on the web at howl.fm. You enter the code OMFG at checkout. Remember to hear all the Comedy Bang Bang live tours along with dozens of original audio miniseries and comedy albums. Go to howl.fm. That's howl.fm and use the promo code OMFG for 1 month free trial of Howl Premium.
OMFG.
Is your dad gonna hurt me?
Nah.
Who the hell is that boy?
I'm gonna say probably not.
I guess Jews and African Americans have a lot in common.
Do you like me, Amifa?
I know I'm not cool.
Girls like it.
Nice.
A little sweet taster from Wannabe.
We're back with David Bloom.
Yes.
In a starring role in that delightful movie.
Wannabe. Mm-hmm. Where can people find Wannabe, by the way?
You know, I'm not actually sure. I've looked myself, but you can definitely, if you head out to the Tribeca Film Festival, you can definitely find it.
Word. Is that coming up?
Hmm?
Did it happen?
Oh, no, it's coming up. It's actually currently going on right now.
Ooh,
so when do you fly out for the big premiere?
I'm going out the night of the 21st.
Oh, very cool.
And I'm going to go see some screenings and have fun in New York.
Awesome. Cool. Oh, it's wannabefilm.com.
Yes, wannabefilm.com. You can check it out.
Trailer out.
Great.
Black frickin' makes me laugh.
Yeah, that was a funny line.
Was that in the script?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That was a nice line in the script because I went to him and I said, I was gonna about to say black, and I'm like, oh, wait, no, I should change it. I should say African-American.
Yeah.
But what came out was Black-African-American.
Black-African.
So great.
That's really funny. Okay, so let's just take a little trip down a timeline. The first time I remember seeing an interracial couple was...
Tell me.
I Love Lucy.
I Love Lucy. Have you seen I Love Lucy?
I've heard of I Love Lucy, and I've seen a couple episodes.
Oh, great.
Probably find it on Nick at Night or something along those lines.
Yeah, they play it like really late at night on Nick at Night. They have some.
And that was a white, funny gal and her Hispanic husband.
And, she, you know, she had red hair, so she was also a minority.
Right.
Just keep it clear.
And, you know, that duo... it's like amazing how far ahead of its time that show was.
Yeah. I mean, it's a very classic sitcom, but it opened all sorts of doors.
Yeah, like she was the lead of it. She produced it. She had her husband in it. He was Hispanic, and it was no big, like they had fun with their differences.
Yeah.
But it was like no big deal,
mm-hmm.
You know, which is awesome. Like that's the way... It should be. And then it seems like it took 20 years.
Oh, boy.
20 plus years. I mean, I don't know if I have one. I'm sure somebody could come up with a different timeline.
Sure.
But, I mean, I don't even know if this is right. But I think, like, the Jeffersons' Neighbors were the next, another show you probably have never heard of. But have you ever heard of the Jeffersons?
Jeffersons.
We're moving on up. To the east side, from a deluxe apartment in the sky. We're moving on. Does that help at all?
Or? No, I don't think I've heard of that one.
Okay. Well, they had, Mr. Jefferson, there were some neighbors there, and the
it was really in a mostly black cast.
Yes, upwardly mobile black.
Yep.
Family and Tom and... Willis, I think her name was, were the black and white neighbors next door, and they were the butt of many jokes.
Yes.
Not exactly the ideal situation in terms of,
well,
like...
interracial couples weren't liked from many sides, you know?
But again, it wasn't, like, such a big shocker, you know? I mean, it was, like... I feel like we were progressive at one, in a way we had more going on, and then like we hit such a lull with things. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess the creative well in sitcoms just dried up and became real white or real black.
And now I don't even feel like going through the timeline anymore. Those are the two.
Okay, great.
So what else? Should we take your phone and just take a quick look at your text messages to learn something?
Sure.
Yeah, hand it over. Unlock it. Bring it over. Let's see what we got.
All right, here. Let me unlock
it. Don't edit. Don't delete.
I won't. I won't delete anything.
Don't delete a thing.
All right. I'm trusting you guys.
Well, you shouldn't.
I really shouldn't. I don't know what I'm doing.
You should never do that. I mean, let's just start with the first one. You know?
Yeah. Sam. Oops.
Okay, now do you think your friends are going to listen to this show? Let's just start there.
Hopefully not.
Okay. Oh.
Well, we hope they do.
Well, I hope they do, but maybe not this episode with me.
Right.
So are you going to be him?
I'll be Sam.
No.
You're going to be Sam?
Nope. You'll be Sam.
I'm going to be Sam.
And the insight on who Sam is? Or
no.
You just want to go?
No, we'll just go from here.
Go for it.
So you're you. You're
so
David.
I am David Bloom. School's pretty good. Not a lot has changed. Some new friends, but that's really it.
Oh, cool.
How about you? How is school going?
School's pretty okay. I joined track, and that is fairly okay and slightly painful. I have a different girlfriend. Maddie broke up with me a while ago, and her name is...
Ain?
Not sure what that name is.
Ain? Nice.
I really miss L.A., though.
I miss having you here, sad face.
Yeah, I don't know when I can come down next. Hopefully soon.
Hopefully I can find time to visit you.
Yeah, that would be really cool.
Yeah.
How are our friends down there? The same as when I was there for winter break?
Pretty much. Everyone's been good. How are your friends?
They're all weird. Still basically the same, though.
Cool.
Hey, I was just on Instagram, and I noticed that you seem to post a lot about films and festivals and TV shows and stuff. Do you have an account for yourself, or is that it?
Hey, that's my only account.
That was not supposed to be mean. That was just supposed to be letting him know.
Like, hey, that's my only account.
Just hey, responding to his saying, she'd be like, yeah, it's my only account.
What does that mean exactly?
I don't know. Today he asked me, I noticed that you had all these stuff on your Instagram, and is that your only account? I said, yeah, it's my only account.
Just information. Well, you and Sam seem to be swell guys.
Yeah.
You know, there is the genuineness that we are experiencing here in the room is apparent in your text chain. No trouble.
No, real shit talky stuff.
No foul language
that I just used.
Yeah.
Not welcome here.
No.
With David Bloom.
No trouble in this text chain.
No trouble.
The only trouble I can see is that when you said, hey, and you did put an exclamation point, that's my only account, we haven't gotten a response yet.
Sam didn't write back.
Oh, no. I don't know.
What do you think the biggest problem with 15-year-olds is today?
Oh, my God. Probably just mainly the gossip and the drama, because I don't like gossiping about people. I don't like causing drama. I like when people get along. I like when people are happy. But I go to a pretty good school, really good school, but sometimes I'll just see kids like talking about like, oh, my God, did you hear what blah, blah, blah did? Oh, yeah, I'm texting whoever about this and that. And I'll see people, like, just texting all their friends about, like, all this stuff. And they're just, like, all talking about, like, it's not.
It's wildfire. One so person much, has.
I'm making it. Like, so I'm making easy. It sound way worse than it is at my school. But I feel like within 15-year-olds and older and a little bit younger, just, like, all around, like, the U.S. and maybe in the world, I'm not sure. It's just mainly gossip and a new form of bullying, which is cyberbullying.
Have you been cyberbullied?
Yeah, I have been cyberbullied.
What happened?
Really? Yeah.
It wasn't Sam.
No, God, Sam would never, ever, ever do anything like that.
No, he's a sweetheart.
So I was, when I was littler.
Like how old?
Oh, God, like maybe 10, 11. I would post videos on YouTube, people rarely watched. It was just like a little fun thing I like to do with my friends. I took them all down, but it was fun and I enjoyed it.
Were they like sketch kind of videos?
Yeah, they were just goofy sketch videos that were really bad, but they were made by like 10, 11-year-olds.
Right.
So me and a couple friends did that, and then this one kid, I'm leave out names, he just started commenting out of nowhere, and I've gone to school with this kid my entire life, and I know this kid my entire life. He just starts commenting all these horrible, horrible things.
Oh, boy.
So do you have an example of what he was saying to you that we could hear?
Yeah, I do. I would go by, like, David HB, HB being my initials, my middle name, my last name. And for some reason, he thought, you know, it'd be funny. Let's say he's, I'll have you guys read it.
Oh, boy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. What?
So he decided that HB stood for homeless bitch.
I don't even know what that means.
Some of these, either. He wasn't very clever.
Right.
With his,
no, it's like.
They were just flat out insults bitch? To be insults. You know, I don't know.
But how strange. You know someone your whole life and then they just take to you online and start calling you a
like
homeless
that.
Bitch.
Like,
that's bizarre.
Out of nowhere.
And wow.
It.
What did it do to you? What were you, like, what was your first thought when you got that email? When you got your first email from him? Did you think he was joking?
At first, I'm like, is this like a joke? And then he just kept doing it. And then it just eventually got out of control. And then it didn't really affect me that much. I'd see them and I'd be a little hurt, but I didn't feel like it would like affect me in a large way. And so I eventually, we didn't really become, I wouldn't say we became friends again, but I would say
you're fine with each other.
We're fine with each other. A truce.
That's fair. Where can people find you?
You can find me on both Instagram and Twitter at David H. Bloom.
Thank you so much, David, for joining us.
What a pleasure.
Thanks for having me.
And everybody should watch Wet Hot American Summer if you haven't seen it yet.
You should definitely watch it.
Wannabe, out in hopefully theaters near us soon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
OMFG. You know, that young, sweet David Bloom.
Yeah.
Just made me feel things, you know, in the womb.
Right in the womb. Got you in the womb.
Really did. Just rearing children ain't easy. He's a delight.
He's a real sweetheart.
Mm-hmm.
A gentle soul.
Yep.
That David Bloom.
Yep.
Sincere.
Mm-hmm.
And his text chain with his friend showed it.
So sweet and so adorable.
So nice.
And like the first kiss on camera. I mean, everything about him is just so sweet.
And the curls on top of the head.
Yeah.
I mean, my goodness.
I mean, you know my brother had those curls.
Oh, yeah. There, it's my desktop picture.
That's right.
Real talk. Emily and her brother at the age of knows what.
3 and 5?
2 and 5? Yeah.
2 and 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He was really sweet.
He was.
I enjoyed that. That warmed my heart.
Yeah, me too. I think, you know, there are a lot of young, smart, bright kids out there, but they're not all as cool as David Bloom.
Yeah, yes. He had a lot of sensitivity. And, you know, just his little story, and it was not the worst case scenario of bullying. But
pretty breezy.
You still feel it.
Mm-hmm.
You feel that sort of like attack out of nowhere from someone you know. It doesn't make sense.
I mean, I really hope that this guy does listen and that he really just thinks about workshopping some of his insults because
okay, so you're
he's got
just looking
some
at,
ways to go.
You just want to reevaluate his insult game.
I mean, HB.
Right. I mean, do you have anything just off the top?
Hard boobs.
Okay, getting there.
Right?
Getting there.
Much better. Hairy vagina.
That's, now we're like, if someone called me a hairy vagina, I'd laugh and then cry.
Right?
Nobody, you know?
Nobody wants to be a hairy vagina.
Yeah. Honky boomerang?
Racial slur in there. I liked it. I liked it. Not sure.
Well, we just learned on the way out mm-hmm. that David's dad mm-hmm. repped Wheezy from the Jeffersons.
Yeah, her talent manager.
Crazy.
Yeah, that was cool.
And her husband was white in real life, and their child was?
Lenny Kravitz.
So that's one to grow on.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And I would like to say that my mommy did eventually meet
Reggie.
Jacques Lespinasse.
Yep, sure.
I know he ain't listening to this, but maybe he is. Maybe. Hey, Reggie, what's up? How you doing? And it was after we broke up. It was one of those kismet. It was like 5 months after we broke up. My parents were staying at the Bonaventure because I got a discount.
Great.
They're outside with their bags.
And who's there to help?
No, he doesn't work there anymore.
Oh.
He's picking up his last check. He doesn't work there. He'd been gone for like weeks.
How crazy.
And I'm driving to pick them up, to take them to the airport, and I see him cross them.
Oh, wow.
And I was like, what's happening right now?
It's like scenes from a movie.
It was crazy.
Yeah.
And I honked, and all three of them waved at me. And then I pulled over, and I said, hey, Reggie. And I go, my parents are right behind you. And he's like, no. And I'm like, because he knew the stories,
right.
You know. And he from pictures and from everything, he loved them from a distance,
right.
You know. But he knew. I said, I want you to meet them. And he was a little nervous.
Oh, who wouldn't be?
Of course.
Yep.
And walked up. He was so, as per usual, again, they never had met him.
Mm-hmm.
Charming, lovely. They were so charmed by him.
Of course.
Get in the car, and they're like, he was so nice. He was lovely. Are you still dating Reggie? And I'm like, no, I'm not. But of course he is.
Right.
Because you know me.
Right. And I'm not a crazy person.
And you know who anybody I bring around is nice.
Right.
And they were kind of like bummed we weren't together after meeting him. I couldn't believe it. I was like, I can't believe I've been through therapy, this, that, hurt feelings, crying. And look at this.
But what a nice button.
It was a beautiful, beautiful button.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Good night. We are OMFG Pod. No, we're OMFG at OMFG Pod. My fault. I made the Twitter account. I'm Deanna Chang at Deanna Raphael.
And I'm Emily Foster. Nope.
You're not?
I am.
You are.
I'm Emily Foster at Frida Foster.
And we love you.
Thank you so much for listening.
OMFG.
Hi, everybody. This is David Gregory, and I want to tell you about my new podcast, The David Gregory Show. It is that easy to remember. And it's me talking to all sorts of really interesting people, getting them off their regular script into deeper, more personal conversations, like Arianna Huffington about parenthood.
I think especially for mothers, they take the baby out and they put the guilt in.
Or Bravo TV's Andy Cohen on being less afraid.
Look, I'm a single gay dude on a late night talk show. If I can't overshare, who can?
We'll have a new program every Friday. So go to iTunes, Stitcher, or whatever your favorite podcast app and download The David Gregory Show and eavesdrop on really cool conversations. Thanks for listening.
This has been an Earwolf production, executive produced by Scott Aukerman, Adam Sachs, and Chris Bannon. For more information and content, visit earwolf.com.